Listen now for the founder of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. Today's message was selected from among the earliest recordings preserved from his lifetime and ministry.
My friends, I should like to suggest that you read the entire 13th chapter of Genesis. I'm sorry I haven't time to read the chapter to you now. It tells a wonderful story. It tells the story of Abraham and Lot at a crisis in their life. Abraham was magnanimous and Lot was selfish. Sometimes we say that men fall suddenly, but they do not fall suddenly. When men fall, it's because they've made preparation for the fall. And men never do the heroic suddenly. If in the hour of crisis you do the great heroic thing, it's because you made preparation for that occasion. Now, Abraham and Lot reached the hour of crisis in their lives. Now, Abraham, generous and magnanimous, says, "Now, Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou take the right hand, then I'll go to the left. Or if you desire to depart to the left, then I'll go to the right." Now Lot looked everywhere and saw that the land was well watered. So he chose a land that was watered and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the chapter says, "The men of Sodom are wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Now I want you to notice, Lot had a perfect right under Abraham's proposition to choose any part of the territory he wished. Abraham said, "Now you just take what you want and I'll take what you leave." That was magnanimous. Now Lot chose the land that was watered. It was a good place to raise cattle, but a poor place to rear children. Now Lot was a materialist. A materialist is a man that puts material things above spiritual values. That's what Lot did. And you talk about Lot. This 13th chapter of Genesis is current literature. That's what men are doing all over the world today. They are putting the cattle above children. They are putting land above prayer and Bible and spiritual things. Now, Lot was a materialist. He chose a material. Now, if Lot had not been a materialist, he'd have said, "Well, that's good land over yonder, and I could raise my cattle there. But it's a bad place to rear my children. And I believe I'd rather have land that wasn't quite so good. And I believe I'd rather live somewhere else." And he could have said, "Now, Abraham, you haven't any little children to rear as I have, and your life is different, and you are more mature. Suppose you just take this good land, and I'll stay over here on some poor land and make the best of it." But he didn't say that. He was a materialist. And he pitched his tent toward Sodom, a bad place to rear children, but a wonderful place to raise cattle. He was a materialist. Now, I want you to notice for just a minute, the materialist often seems to be winning, but the materialist always loses. The man that puts first things first is a man who wins in the long run. Now, Jesus said that when he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That's what Jesus said. And the man that puts spiritual things first, according to the word of God, will have whatever he needs. But the man that puts material things first never finds satisfaction and always reaps what he sows. Now, I want you to notice the picture for just a minute. I want us to bring up the curtain on the first act in the drama of Lot's life. He's in Sodom. He's up there in politics. He's at the gate, a gatekeeper. Now, he evidently sold out to get that position. No man in Sodom could have become gatekeeper if he hadn't made some kind of a political deal that could not have been exactly right. So he's gatekeeper. They're having a wonderful time in Sodom. It looks like they're winning. Mrs. Lot's in high society. Why, she was out at a bridge party. Oh, of course, it might not have been bridge, but it was something like that, because human nature hasn't changed. Somebody said not long ago, said, human nature's changed. The world's changed. No, it hasn't changed. The trouble is men haven't changed. Men are just the same. Human nature in Sodom was human nature in the raw. And human nature in the raw today is just like it was in Sodom. Why, we think we're so different. We're not different. We're just like they've always been. So there he is, Lot at the gate. Mrs. Lot in society. And I imagine she was very awkward because she was from the country. She hadn't had much experience, and she hadn't gone the gate. The women had traveled there, and her daughters went to society, and things were going fine. That's the first act. It looks like it's a great play, and it seems to be comedy. Everybody's happy. There's drinking and laughing and fun, and everybody having a good time. But that's just the first act. Let's leave that drama for just a minute, will you? And let's go back down to the desert with Abraham. The curtain goes up on the first act there. Oh, my, what a scene. Abraham and Sarah sitting in the tent door. And they're looking up at the stars that look like frozen dewdrops in the azure-belted dome of that eastern sky. It was awfully dull. No excitement, just routine. That was the jingle of camel bells and the dust of the desert and the lowing of cattle. Just routine. But you know most of life is routine. We get tired of it, but that's life. And routine, listen, men and women, when you mingle love and home and happiness and a clear conscience with routine, routine isn't so bad. And we say, what a dull play. Wouldn't you hate to be there with Abraham and Sarah in a tent door, breathing the dust of the desert, and sitting there with the jingle of camel bells and the lowing of the cattle? My, wouldn't you hate to be out in the country like that? How exciting is Sodom? Let's go back to the drama there and see the play. This one's too dull down here. But the curtain goes down on the first act of the drama in Sodom, and we say, what a play. Oh, my, how interesting. What a success. Oh, Lot, my, you certainly made a deal with your old uncle, Abraham. And, my, didn't you make a wonderful deal for your children and your wife? How different it is with you. You certainly got the better of the bargain. But wait a minute. The curtain's going up on the last act. Say, listen, the first act in the devil's play is always comedy. The last act is always tragedy. It is usually a tragedy of horrors. Let's notice it just a minute. The play's been going on, and things have been fine. But here's the last act. What's happened? Well, Lot's lost the respect of his neighbors. Why, the people came that night when he's entertaining heavenly guests and tried to break into his home. And Lot said, please, please, don't come in. Don't come in. And if they hadn't been smitten with blindness by Almighty God, they would have broken into his home and disturbed his guests. And Lot went out that night to warn his sons-in-law and his daughters and tell them that destruction is coming upon Sodom. I can see him now, the old man at the door saying, get up, get up. God's going to destroy Sodom. Angelic messengers have been to see him. They've told me that destruction's coming. Get up, get up. And the Bible says he's seen this one that mocked. I can hear the drunken son-in-law now say to his wife, turn over and go to sleep. What does he know about God? He's nice and tell us about God. What does he know about God? And Lot goes back and gathers together his family and starts out of Sodom and leaves some of them behind him. Oh, say, he chose a good place to water cattle, but he's leaving his own children where there'll be no water to save them. He's leaving them, some of his own family behind to be destroyed in the flames of the wrath of God poured out upon a doomed city. I remember years ago, an old man in southeast Alabama took me to his country home after preaching at a church in the community. And I walked in the home, and there was a shadow over the family. I knew there was trouble there. I didn't know just what it was, but you can feel those things. And after a while, I saw an unshed tear in the eye of the wife and mother. And I saw the old man sigh. And after a while, he called me out in the yard, and I followed him to the barn. And out in the filth of the barn was the man's son, drunk, sleeping there with the cattle in the barn. And the old man looked at me as his lips quivered, and he said, Bob, he said, I did that. I said, you did that? He said, yes, I did that. He said, before that boy was born, I used to get drunk. And I used to come home drunk and after his little fella. And I'm a Christian now. I'm all right. I'm trusting God. And God's forgiven me and God's saved me and I'm all right. But I lived in sin too long to save my son. When I changed, I had to leave him behind me to be wrecked and ruined. And so old Lot, the man that chose a good watering place for cattle and a poor place for children, walked out of a doomed city with his back turned upon those children he took over there, and they were consumed in the flames of the city. And the children he took out with him, the ones that he took out, got him drunk, and there was an orgy of dissipation and sin, and a scandal that's come down through the across the centuries. Oh, Lot, what a fool you were. You thought you could beat the game. You thought that when you chose a warring place for cattle, that you'd take care of your children. But you didn't put the welfare of your children first. You sold out. And Lot lost something else. Lot lost the presence of God. Lot lost fellowship. I'm not talking about losing his soul. I'm not talking about his apostasy. I'm not discussing that. But the angel of the covenant in the Old Testament, who was supposed to have been God, went to Abraham but did not go to Lot. And God sent angelic messengers to snatch him like a brand from the burning. But God wouldn't keep company with him. God can't fellowship with compromisers and trimmers and men that put material things above spiritual things. So poor Lot, when he needed God in the sorrow of his heart, in the hour of his tragedy, he walked out crushed and broken and sad, children burned to death, wife a pillar of soul, and his other children out there disgracing and dishonoring forever. Oh, what a tragedy. But sin always winds up in tragedy. Many women listen to me. You can't put material things above spiritual things and get away with it. No man ever has. No man ever can. Lot tried it. Lot reaped what he sowed. And that law holds still. If you put material things above spiritual, you'll have to take the consequences. And Lot lost his fellowship. Say, there's a time coming when money will not be a substitute for the peace of God which passes all understanding. There's a time coming when the material things of the world cannot bind up your broken heart. Many women, I'd rather be in a little cabin somewhere on a bare floor with bare walls and dim little lights and have God than live in the palace of wealth and luxury with God nowhere near. There's no substitute for God in a human life. Nothing takes the place of this fellowship and peace and joy. There's no substitute for this. Lot, the materialist. Old Abraham, how different the story. He and Sarah sitting down there, and it looks like such a dull show. It isn't very interesting. There isn't anything interesting about the dust of a desert. There isn't anything very attractive about the lowing of cattle. There isn't anything very nice about the jingle of camel bells going across the plain. That isn't very nice. It's awfully dull. But that's just the first act. You know, God always gives us the worst first and saves the best for the last. The devil always gives us the best first and saves the dregs for the last. When the devil sets out his cup, on the top of the cup there's exhilarating draughts. Oh, the thrill of it. But you wait till you drink to the bottom. And in the bottom of the devil's cup there's always dregs and a hissing serpent. He holds back the dregs and the serpent sting for the bottom of the glass and puts the exhilarating draft on top of the glass. God's method's different. God never gives us the best first. He sets out his glass and his first drink is not the best, but wait for the last. In the bottom of his cup, there's life and joy, the water of life and things that make for happiness. So let's wait for the last act in the play of Abraham. After a while, the last act comes and the curtain's up. It hasn't been much of a play and nobody seems to be interested. But wait just a minute. The camels are still out in the desert and the dust is still there. Yes. And the cattle are lowing, that's also. The scenery is just the same. But wait just a minute. I hear music. It's music from heaven. It's coming from another world. It's music made by angels on harps of gold. It's wafted to us on the breezes that come from the wings of angels. Say, what heavenly music. Abraham and Sarah, they are sitting there together, and God is saying to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I'll make thee rule over many things. God always takes care of those that put him first. Many women, some of you are sold out. I'm talking to some of you now. You've sold out. You've sold for my little price, some of you. You haven't got much. What a miserable mess you've made of everything. Poor, poor men and women. How my heart goes out to you, Dave, to think what a failure you're making and how much you're losing, won't you, from this day on? Put the spiritual first. Put God first. Listen just a minute. Money can't satisfy you. The material things of the world can't bind up your heart. These things don't count. Put God first. May God give you grace to do it. From this day on, first things first, God and his righteousness above any material thing. God help you to do it. Goodbye, and God bless you.
You've heard a message recorded during the lifetime of the founder of Bob Jones University. Listen daily for messages by Dr. Bob Jones Sr., sponsored by Bob Jones University.